Daniel became a champion, not because of a special anointing, but because he did not allow intimidation to dictate his life. And this is where we need to learn from him today. For you see, we face the exact same situation as Daniel. All of us live in a place that is not our permanent home. We're strangers and foreigners here, and we're surrounded by people who want to shape us into their mold. They want to take away our divine identity as children of God. They want to affect the way we eat, the way we talk, the music we listen to, the movies we watch. They want to affect the way we dress. They want to take away every image and appearance of Christ and replace it with that of the world. But you have a choice this morning. We don't have to conform to this world. In fact, God commands us in Romans 12 to do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. God has not called you to live a life of instability that changes moment by moment based upon your circumstances. God has called each and every one of us to dwell in a place of his presence, authority, and anointing. Psalm 91:1 says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. We're called to live moment by moment in the presence of God and to remain in God, to dwell in God. You have to obey him. For Jesus said in John 15:9, now remain in my love. Somebody say remain. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. And we can see a picture painted from the Old Testament to the New that God's called us to live in his presence and remain in his love by conforming our lifestyle according to God's word. And when we do that, we come into a place of authority that remains with us. That's why Ephesians 2:6 says God has raised up Christ with us with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. You see, the fact is Jesus had more authority than anyone who ever lived because he had constant communion and access to his Father. He literally dwelt in the presence of the Lord all the time, every day, moment by moment. And the more you do that, the more I do that, the more power and authority we will experience. The problem is today, people want to move in and out of the place they're supposed to dwell in. They move in on Sunday and move out on Monday. They move into the place of God's presence when the pastor visits and move out when the World Cup comes on. They move in when they read their Bible and move out when they watch TV. They move in when they're home with their wife and children and move out when they're in the office with the secretary. You've got to dwell in the presence of God. You've got to dwell in the place of authority. You've got to dwell in his presence moment by moment and not change based upon preference and circumstance. For John said in 1 John 2, as for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you. Somebody say remain. Just as it is taught you, remain in him. And the potential, the destiny that God has for each and every one of us is that we live in his presence, operating in his authority, and flowing in his anointing every moment of every day in the workplace, in the soccer field, in the church, and everywhere we go, we are in God's presence. Today we've misunderstood the anointing. Today we think that the anointing is something that comes and goes from our life. Today we're in a place where the anointing seems to be something that's special in people's lives. And we say, well, he's got a special anointing as a prophet. Today you can find anointing for favor and anointing for contract and anointing for breakthrough and anointing to go to the toilet. It's nonsense. But the anointing is simply the presence of the anointed one in you. And the enemy is constantly trying to dislodge you from your dwelling place. Just like he tempted Adam and Eve to sin, and they lost their place in the garden. Today, the same enemy is tempting us to lose our place in God's presence, authority, and anointing. For you see, the enemy knows the power you possess when you dwell in Christ. He knows the authority you have over him. He knows the anointing will break the yoke. So he's trying to use intimidation to attack you and move you out of the way. But when you have convictions, you will have the courage to stand. So let me ask you a question this morning. Do you have convictions, or are you simply living by preferences? If your lifestyle a conviction, or is it a preference? Are you willing to be different from others around you so you can maintain your purity for Christ? What it really comes down to is, what are you basing your decisions on? If you base your life on the foundation of God's word, then you will have convictions that do not change. But if you base your life on whatever seems good to you at the moment, you'll only have preferences that change from day to day, depending upon who is around you and what situation you're in. This is what we see in Daniel's life. He had the courage of convictions to live a holy life because he had a conviction about the truth. And that's our second point today on page 2, fill in the blank with the word truth. We jump ahead in Daniel's story to Daniel chapter 5. Because Daniel lived a lifestyle that was pleasing to God, God opened up amazing blessings to him. And as we go through chapters 2, 3, 4, and 5, we see that Daniel has come to a place of great power. But in that place of success, there was a second level Daniel had to climb to. He had to face the temptation that comes with success. Would he be loyal to the truth, or would he be corrupted by power? But Daniel becomes a champion not only because of his conviction about lifestyle, but he also had a conviction about the truth. He wasn't willing to compromise what he knew to be true just to obtain favor or power or position. Daniel could have seen his entrance into the king's inner circle as an opportunity to get favor or to get wealth and to tell the king some sweet prophecy that would tickle his ears and open up his wallet. But Daniel stood for the truth even when the truth was a judgment against the king given by Almighty God. For in fact, in Daniel chapter 5, verse 23, Daniel says to the king in his presence, "You have not honored the God who gives you the breath of life and controls your destiny." And when God revealed a message of judgment to Daniel, he spoke boldly because he had the courage of conviction to stand for the truth. And would to God we had some prophets in this nation that had the courage of conviction to go to the places of power and speak the word of truth and speak the word of the Lord. Would to God we had prophets in this nation today who would not use every opportunity to get favor or to get status or to get prominence, but would come and say, "Thus saith the Lord, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Where are the prophets who speak to the powers that be the word of the Lord, whether good or bad? I'm not talking about the nonsense of the prophet who saw where you lost your mobile phone. I'm not talking about the prophet who tells you which sister in the village is cursing you. I'm talking about prophets who are burning with the word of God, the word of truth. And we all need a conviction about truth that will not change with the seasons. We need to understand that God's truth never changes. It is a rock that cannot be moved. It is a foundation that cannot be shaken. God's truth does not bow to popular opinion. God's truth doesn't take a poll or a survey to find out what people believe. God's truth stands the test of time. It has always been and always be, because the truth is none other than the person of Jesus Christ. And in John 14, 6, he said, "I am the truth, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever." And the truth doesn't change because Jesus never changes. The truth doesn't fail because Jesus never fails. The truth cannot be moved, cannot be defeated, cannot be stopped, cannot be overturned, cannot be watered down, cannot be altered, because Jesus is the truth, and the truth is Jesus. Somebody say amen. Come on and help me preach. You're awful quiet today. Unfortunately, people don't value the truth in our day and age. This is a world in which the truth is disregarded and even mocked. Even people in the church ignore the truth. And 2 Peter said it like this in chapter 3, verse 3. He said, "In the last days, scoffers will come mocking the truth and following their own desires." And this is the day and age we see this prophecy fulfilled. Modern man sees truth as something that suits his needs and serves his purposes. Modern man sees truth as something that can change depending upon the situation or time. Politicians twist the truth. News media selects the truth. It chooses to sell its publications and promote its agenda. Companies spend billions of dollars advertising in the hopes that if you tell a slogan again and again, people will hear it enough to begin to believe it. And even in our individual lives and homes, billions of people deny the truth, living in darkness. Truth has become relative to the situation. Reminds me of the story of a company that was trying to hire someone for a senior management position. They came down to three candidates. One was a mathematician, one was a statistician, and one was a marketing major. And they called them in one by one and gave them an interview. And the first question they asked to the mathematician, what's 2 plus 2? The mathematician said, 2 plus 2 is 4. They said, thank you very much. Go and wait for us. They called in the statistician. They said, what's 2 plus 2? And he said, well, statistically speaking, 2 plus 2 is a number between 3 and 5. Thank you. Go and wait for us. Then they called in the marketing major. And they said, sir, what's 2 plus 2? He said, sirs, 2 plus 2 is whatever you want it to be. And they hired him. And that's the way the world views truth today. It's whatever I need to get ahead. It's whatever I need to get the job. It's whatever I need to get her to sleep with me. The truth becomes whatever I have to tell to get what I want. Even in many churches, we're more interested in experience than in the truth. We're focused on experiencing, feeling, but they preach doctrines that are opposed to the truth of God's word. And the fact is, the truth matters in your personal life. It matters because only those who walk in the truth will walk with Jesus. Psalm 15 says, who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. The truth matters in your personal life because only those who walk in truth will enter heaven. For Revelation 21:27 says, nothing evil will be allowed to enter heaven, nor anyone who practices dishonesty. The truth matters in your personal life because only those who walk in the truth in their heart will understand the truth of God's doctrine. For Jesus said in John 7:17, if any one of you really determines to do God's will, then you will certainly know whether my teaching is from God or is merely my own. In other words, Jesus says, obedience to the truth in your personal life will lead to understanding of the truth in your spiritual life. But disobedience to the truth in your heart will lead to deception in your doctrine. And we have so much deception in the world and in the church today because we are not living in the truth in our personal lives. You can't know God's truth when you're living a lie. You'll be deceived. So let me ask you this morning, is your life based on the unchanging truth of God's word or the changing opinions of man? For in these last days, men will not be deceived because of wrong information, but because of wrong character. That's why Paul said, 2 Timothy 4, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires. Somebody say desires. And will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase myths. And how many millions of Christians are chasing myths after prophets who tell them whatever they want to hear because of their own sinful desires? That's why here at Agape House, we challenge you not only to live by the truth, but to know the truth. We stand for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help us God. That's why we boldly proclaim the truth to expose the errors of our time. That's why we reject the lie of the Mormon church when they claim Jesus is the half-brother of Satan. We stand on the truth that says Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, that Satan is a fallen angel, and that Jesus saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. We reject the lie of the Jehovah Witness when they claim Jesus was a good man, but not the Son of God. And we stand on the truth that declares Jesus is the Son of God, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of substance with the Father, and being one with Him. We reject the lie of Islam that claims that Jesus was a prophet, but not the Savior of the world who died on the cross. And we stand on the truth that Jesus died on the cross, as the Word of God says. He died, was buried, descended into hell, and on the third day He rose again. We reject the lie of man that says that all religions are the same and we're all on the same path to eventually reach the same God. We stand on the truth of God's word and we boldly declare there is no other name given under heaven whereby man might be saved. But the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue must confess that he is King of kings and Lord of lords, the only Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, our Redeemer, Jesus. For the road to heaven does not pass through Mecca or Allah or Muhammad. It passes through Jesus and Jesus alone. And our faith is not the same as Islam. It is not the same as Buddhism. It is not the same as Hinduism. And even within the church, we have to stand boldly for the truth. We love all those who proclaim the name of Christ in sincere faith, but we will not compromise. At Agape House, we believe the truth. We exist for a reason, and our faith is strong because we know what is right, regardless of what others may say. That's why we're called Protestants. We protest the error of the Roman Catholic Church. We reject the errors of the church when they claim that we must pass through Mary or the saints in order to pray to God. And we stand on the truth of God's word that declares there is only one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. We reject the error of the Orthodox churches and their dead religious ritual. And we stand on the truth of God's word that says the Holy Spirit is for all of God's people. And we believe what Jesus said in John 7, rivers of living water will flow out of your belly. We reject the errors of the charismatic movement that emphasizes experience over truth and that has carnalized the gospel and trivialized doctrine. And we stand on the truth of God's word that declares the Spirit not only gives us power for miracles, but power for purity. We are a New Testament church because all we do and all we believe is based on the truth of the New Testament of God's word. And if in any area we are found to be lacking from God's truth, we will change because our conviction is not based on man's teaching or tradition or convenience. It is based on the truth. The great pastor Adrian Rogers said it like this: it is better to be divided by truth than to be united in error. It is better to speak the truth that hurts than heals, than falsehood that comforts than kills. It is not love, and it is not friendship if we fail to declare the whole counsel of God. For it is better to be hated for telling the truth than to be loved for telling a lie. It is impossible to find anyone in the Bible who was a power for God, who did not have enemies and was not hated. And it's better to stand alone with the truth than to be wrong with a multitude. It is better to ultimately succeed with truth than to temporarily succeed with a lie. But that's our challenge today. For you see, standing for the truth always brings opposition. The enemy will fight you. Men will hate you. Even friends will turn against you because of the truth. We live in a day and a time when standing for the truth can even cost you your life. So let me ask you, do you have a conviction about the truth? Or do you just have a preference? Do you sometimes tell little lies because you want to avoid unpleasantness? Do you sometimes twist the truth just so you can escape from embarrassment or in order to obtain favor? When it comes to the final choice, are you willing to pay a price for the truth? Or is it simply another option that you can take or leave depending upon the consequences? Because standing for the truth ultimately comes down to this. Standing for the truth is standing with the truth. And the courage of conviction about the truth will be found in us when we have a conviction about our relationship with God. And that's our third truth today on page 3 of your notes. Fill in the blanks with the words relationship with God. Daniel's third conviction that gives us an example to follow today was his relationship with God. It mattered more to him than life.